We're going to discuss him and hug him. Why are we discussing him and hug him? Because it's one of my favorite things for Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, really all Americans, to complain about is the hard minhagim. Meaning, there are a couple of minhagim in Klal Yisrael which have not been zocha to be as popular. And a lot of times people complain about minhagim. So, for example, one popular minhag which people complain about a lot, kippah. Interesting. People do complain about kippah because, yeah, do I have to keep it on all the time? For sure. Another one that people like to complain about is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. Right? Oh, why do we have to? It's just a minhag. It's just a minhag. That's like the classic monarch. Yeah, it's just a minhag. It doesn't matter. So what I wanted to kind of show is actually there are a lot of minhagim that are like deeply entrenched within our Yiddishkeit and are even pretty popular. And for me, it's like hard to imagine a Judaism without minhagim. So to kind of put a different spin on minhagim. And in the end, we'll, you know, save 5 minutes for hashkafically, what do we think about minhagim? Okay, so I'm calling this top 10. It might not always be 10, it might be 7, it might be 8. Top 10 minhagim that I like. Before we even start, are there any minhagim that you guys particularly like that are like nice minhagim that like kippah? Oh, okay, so you like kippah, beautiful. Any other minhagim that's like, where would Judaism be without that minhag? More like Jewish minhagim, less about like individual family minhagim, though we will discuss the difference between those two things. Mariv, great. Excellent. So that is a complicated one. We'll talk about that. Mariv originally definitely was a minhag. You can see in the last source, the Gemara, it's really long. I think I accidentally printed it. It's Daf Chav Zayin. Amid Bet, there's a famous story in the Gemara where Rav Gamliel and Rav Yehoshua are arguing. And Rav Yehoshua, Rav Gamliel says, for sure, Mariv is a minhag. Okay? And the maskana of the Gemara is actually that Mariv is a minhag. However, halachically speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says, nowadays Mariv is not a minhag, Mariv is a chovah. Mariv is because the Jewish people have accepted it upon themselves, then so we do have to daven Mariv, it's an obligation. But originally everyone agreed that it was, or virtually everyone agreed that it was a minhag. And where would we be without Mariv, you know? It would just be weird.
Nushim lighting candles.
Meaning Dafka Nushim and not men. Right, that's true. Where would Judaism be if it was just men lighting candles? It would be far less egalitarian. That's another good one. I like it. Okay, so let's go through in order the source sheet, and we'll throw some more in at the end. So, the first one that I chose to highlight is exactly like you said. Gemara in Shabbos says, "I'm a Rav Huna, b'rei d'Rav Yehoshua. Titi li, give it up to me, delos sagina arba amos begila reis. I never walk without four amos, without a kippah on my head. I am awesome. Look at me. Mashma, if he thinks he's awesome because he never walks four amos without a kippah, then is kippah a minog or is kippah a halacha? If he thinks, look at me, I'm awesome because I never walk four amos without wearing a kippah. So what's the implication? Is kippah obligatory or it's a nice thing to do? You think so? I think the opposite. I think everyone, he's saying, look at me, it's awesome that I never walked four amos without, as opposed to other people who would walk four amos without a kippah. And then, and there are other Gemaras which make it even more clear that in Talmudic times, certainly it was not a law, but a nice thing to do, put a head covering over your head, right? So originally you didn't have to wear a kippah. However, the halacha evolved, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and source Bet, Shulchan Aruch writes, Aser leilech bekomas kuva v'leilech alat amas begilei rosh. You should not walk four amas with your head uncovered. That's what the halacha is. Okay? So there's some debate over whether it's always obligatory or just in many scenarios, the Shulchan Aruch thinks you should wear a kippah. But clearly there's been an evolution here, whereas minhag, it was originally just a minhag to wear a head covering. Eventually the Jewish people took it upon themselves, at least in most contexts, to wear a kippah, and it became a halacha of the whole Jewish people. Yeah, you guys with me? So, halacha number one, or minhag number one, that where would we be without it, I would say is kippah. If you look in the source number three, the Magen Avram, who's a Polish rabbi, a posek that the Mishnah Berurah always quotes, often quotes, he writes, wearing a kippah is called a minhag mechayev. What's a minhag mechayev? Minhag mechayev is, it was originally a minhag, but now it's considered an obligatory type of minhag. Okay? As opposed to other minhagim where it's not obligatory, it's just still a custom. So marg would also be a minhag machayev, exactly. That would be in that category of a obligatory minhag. Or be a minhag which is not machayev, which is just like a nice thing to do, but you don't have to do it. Standing for Kiddush or sitting for Kiddush, maybe how many hours a week for between meat and milk? 3 hours. Right. That's a family custom. Standing and sitting for Kaddish, right? Spartan sit. Although maybe that might be a little different because it may be dependent on your family custom. You would have to do that. But there definitely are plenty of minhagim which aren't obligatory. This one, says the Magen Avraham, is obligatory.
When does a minhag become a minhag mechayev?
That's a fantastic question. I think it has to do with the Jewish people. And once a consensus has been reached and most Jewish law-keeping Yidden are doing this, and then the poskim will put a stamp upon and say, this is something we have to do and not just something that's nice to do. Still, there may be certain scenarios where we'll be lenient about it because it's only a minhag. For example, I don't know, I wonder if wearing a kippah in sports, when you're playing sports, if that has been accepted upon the whole Jewish people, you know, that you have to do that, or just that's still together a minhag. Certainly when you're going swimming, we don't wear a kippah. So clearly the kippah minhag is not in all scenarios. The question is, you know, what scenarios would a person have to wear a kippah? I would definitely say it's better to wear a kippah when playing sports. The question is, would it be obligatory? Okay, so kippah's example number one. Sounds good? Let's go to the next example, because our time is short. I just came back from Tzvat. This is a minhag that we all know and love. What minhag started in the Gemara, but really developed in Tzvat? Gevalt. Awesome. As Harry is teaching us, we all know that Kabbalat Shabbat started in Tzvat. The Gemara in Shabbat says, Amar Bechanina, Mi'atef v'kai afnei demali shaptaf, Amar bovenetze. Open a second story. You guys have it? I'm missing it. Hold on. It is a fire, but there may have been. He says, let's go. Bovenetze. Okay, don't worry about it. Basically, this rabbi says, let's go out and greet Shabbos Kodesh. Yeah? So, Rabbi Hanina says, this is a great idea. We shouldn't just go into Shabbos. Let's go greet Shabbos. But of course, at that point, they weren't singing, they weren't dancing. They just said, oh, let's greet Shabbos. Eventually, brings down the Shulchan Aruch, and source, hey, Yobash Begaza, Vanayim Yismach, Viyat Shabbos, should be happy when Shabbos comes. The Krat Amelech, the Kiyota, the Krat Chatan, the Kala, should be happy like the Chatan and Kala are here when Shabbos comes. Kegon Rabbi Hanina, like Rabbi Hanina, who dressed himself fancy. So clearly there was an evolution, whereas originally the guy would just say it's Shabbos. Eventually, because of the Rizal and Rav Shlomo Alkabetz and the Kabbalists in Tzvat, there became this minhag to dance and sing and to greet Shabbos with a lot of joy. AKA the legend. Yeah, come on down. And eventually it really evolved even further, due to which rabbi, where pretty much all of Am Yisrael singing and dancing on Kabbalat Shabbat, which rabbi really popularized singing and dancing? Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach, exactly. So we see that the halacha is still kind of evolving. What?
I have a sefer about that, by the way.
You're a holy man. You're a holy man. So we see that this is a minhag. It's just a minhag to dance on Kabbalat Shabbat. But let's be honest, it's an awesome minhag. Where would Judaism be without dancing and singing in Kabbalat Shabbat, right? It wouldn't be the same. So that's a minhag that we all love, know and love, I hope. Okay, let's pick another minhag that you might even be surprised to find out is a minhag. The Gemara in Erchen notes, do we have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? The Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh to Ikri Moed, it's called a Moed. Lema lo ikdish vasiyat malacha. But on the one hand, it's called a Moed by the Torah. But on the other hand, you're allowed to do malacha. So therefore, there's a discussion about whether you have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. The conclusion of the Gemara is actually, you do not have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Okay? So you don't have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, as the Pini Halacha writes, but as we all know, there is a widespread custom to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Indeed, according to the letter of the Lord, there is no obligation to do so because Hallel is required only on days that are called Moed, and when work is prohibited. Rosh Chodesh is called the Moed, but work is permitted on the day. Still, the Jewish people have accepted the practice of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh in order to give expression to the sanctity of the day, which is capable of elevating one to the level of singing God's praises. However, to make it clear that halal of Rosh Chodesh is based on custom, what do we do differently on Rosh Chodesh of halal as opposed to Rosh Chodesh on the Hanukkah? Or the Sfarim don't say a bracha, and what? And we skip two Tehillim. We call it a half halal to remind ourselves that it's actually not obligatory, right? But the point is that technically we don't have to sing halal on Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, the Jewish people have taken upon themselves to sing halal on Rosh Chodesh. To the extent that we Ashkenazim even do what? What do we do before we say halal? No, not bus. What do we say before we say halal? We say a bracha. Even though technically you're not chayiv to say halal on Rosh Chodesh, this minog has developed so much to the extent that we the Jewish people can say a bracha on it, and say God. It's like God has commanded us to do it, even though it only started with a minog. Where would we be without singing on Rosh Chodesh? I personally would be a lot less happy. Right, especially singing and dancing at the Kotel.
Did they say a full halal or?
Sorry, do you say a half halal just like us? They just don't say the bracha, right? Because they're aware of this. Like, you're not technically obligated. So there we go. That's custom number three in Judaism, which is super awesome. We got Kippa, we got Kabbalat Shabbat, we got Rosh Chodesh singing, all of which are super awesome, but yet started with halal. Okay, number four. You already noted was Maariv. Which originally started as a custom. What? Okay, Jay just said it. Wow. Awesome. Let's do another one. Steiging Torah on Shavuos night. Where did that start from? Anybody know?
Who?
The Holy Area Kadosh and Rosh Shlomo Alkabetz. They had a dream. They had a revelation from God that we should stay up all night and steig on Shavuos and Hoshan Rabbah. And from there, the custom began that we should learn all night. But this is only a custom. Not a halacha. Nonetheless, where would Judaism be without steiging? It just wouldn't be the same cheesecake if we didn't steig on that. All right? Okay. Let's do another one. Number six on my list. This one's a fan favorite in all camps. NTSY, Moshe Ba'alai. And it has to do with Havdalah. What am I talking about? What's the minog of Havdalah? That's really just a minog, not a halacha. Turning off the lights is nice.
True.
Not specifically that. What am I referring to? Let's see. In the halacha or chayim, source number yud. Say the Abdallah yain the summon there Abdallah. Look at the Ramah. Nagu lomar kodem Abdallah shosim bebayit. Ine kel yeshiyoti Abdallah. Right. And how do we know that it's just a custom and not a halacha? Because our Sephardi brethren actually don't sing Hine Kel Yeshuati, as weird as that is. They say all sorts of other psukim. Only Ashkenazim sing these psukei bracha to start off our week with blessing, right? So it's a custom, but we made it awesome. We sing lots of songs. We start off our week talking about bitachon and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So it's a custom, but it's an amazing thing. And what would Judaism be if we didn't sing the Havdalah song of that Reform lady? Right? It just wouldn't be the same. We'd have to sing Rav Shlomo Zinigan. Okay, so singing the Havdalah songs is my top number six. All right, and finally, you guys will hopefully experience this in Lag BaOmer. Some of the Shanbet guys may have. You guys will figure it out. They'll just sing it over and over for like 3 hours until you can't stop. Okay, so what custom am I referring to? The custom of?
Lag BaOmer.
In fact, making a bonfire on Lag BaOmer, celebrating Lag BaOmer, pretty much all the customs of the Sfira, even shaving, just come from Minog. Of course, I'm not denigrating it. I'm saying, look, how hush of Lag BaOmer, hundreds of thousands of Jews go to the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Meron, even though it's just a Minog, even though most of the things of the Omer are just Minhagim. So clearly, those are my top seven, but I'm sure we can think of others, plenty of other minhagim that really have a huge impact in our lives. Let's see if you guys can think of what other minhagim are like really play a big role in your Jewish lives, but they're only minhagim. Think of any other ideas, guys? Tzitzis at night. Okay, that's a little bit more complicated because it's based on halacha, not exactly a minhag. How about kissing tzitzis? That's a good example. Right? Kissing your tits, is that just like a minog? How about when you say Shema, we cover our eyes, right? Where does that come from? A minog. How about Moda Ani? I don't want to spoil it, but Moda Ani is just a minog. If you don't say it, you're not a bad Jew. But you should. You'll be a great Jew. You're a great Jew if you do say it, right? We already mentioned waiting between meat and milk. All the nusach of tefillah really just comes from minhagim. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that minhag is not just, it's just another minhag. Minhag is something that's really, really plays a huge role in our Judaism, and it wouldn't be the same Judaism without it. Okay, so one word on the hashkafa behind minhag. Okay, I want to just end with this thought. This is a thought that will develop throughout the year as we discuss halacha. Many times we tend to think, or we're taught to think of halacha like it's a science. That's probably how a lot of our teachers taught it to us. It was given to Moshe from Kadosh Baruch Hu, then there's certain Zera Shavas and 13 hermeneutical rules, which the rabbis darshan out, and if they darshan out correctly, they'll get the halacha correctly, right? And that is definitely one way of looking at halacha. But there's a great sefer called Meta Halacha. And in this book, if you have a chance to read it, I believe you guys do have it in the base, and Rabbi Blau knows where it is, because a friend of his wrote it, by Moshe Kapel. It changed my whole philosophy of what halacha is all about. And basically his thesis, to make it really short, is that halacha is a little bit of a science, but a little bit more of a language. I think next time we'll move somewhere less sunny. Sorry, guys. Next time we'll plane that table because it's much more climatically nice. So, wait, let me just finish the idea. So, Moshe Kapel says that halacha is a language. What does it mean, it's a language? It evolves. Just like the English language, it evolves based on how English speakers speak, right? Based on if you have to be in the system, and then when you're in the system, it naturally evolves. So too, halacha is meant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants halacha to evolve, but it can only be evolved by someone who's in the system itself, by God-fearing Jews. If you're outside of the system, if you're speaking Chinese, you can't change English. But if you're speaking English and for enough time, you can actually evolve a halachic system, and it's meant to be evolved. And essentially, that's what minhag is. It started only with somebody wearing a kippah, or somebody saying, let's daven Maariv, or somebody saying, hinei kel yeshuati, but eventually it was something that the Jewish people embraced, and therefore, it has become halacha. And I would say many halachas, actually, the same thing happened. Not just minhag, but it started in this way, and it slowly evolved in the same way that language evolved. And we shouldn't be scared of saying that. We should embrace that. And that, I believe, at least, lo b'shamayim, and that's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should embrace these minhagim of the Jewish people. So we'll stop here, and hopefully this gives us a new way of looking at our holy minhagim. Guys, have an amazing week, and I'll see you next Tuesday, Bezrat Hashem, if you come. Pick a new topic. If you guys have any particular topics that you want to explore, just let me know, and I'll make a new shir based on that. Shkai, you can keep the source sheets, or you can give them back, whatever you want. Have an amazing day. I will freeze these for next week, I guess. We'll pick a new snack that's more popular. Hi, I was about to say, maybe next week we'll start over there where there's less of a sun sector.